18. It was evening. Carl stood at the top of the stairs, watching Vern climb slowly, his hand on the rail.
Where have you been all day?
Vern grunted.
Talking.
Talking? To whom?
Vern pushed past Carl, down the hall and into the room. He sat down on his bed with a sigh.
We thought maybe something had happened to you when you didn't show up for dinner.
I was thinking. I didn't feel like eating.
Who are you talking to?
A man named Harry.
You mean they left somebody here besides us?
No.
Vern pushed up his glasses, rubbing his eyes. Harry represents the Chinese People's PCC, or as we call them, the new owners.
Carl's mouth fell open. Then they've come.
Yes, they've come. They'll be here any time now. We had a very interesting talk. It gave me something to think about. I've been thinking about it ever since.
Is he still here?
No, he's gone again.
There was silence. Carl was at a loss for words. He opened and closed his mouth a few times.
Well, then we'll have to get ready to leave.
That's right.
What's wrong? You sound depressed.
Vern fitted his glasses in place.
I'm tired, worn out. I guess I'll turn in and get some sleep.
Gosh, we should do things. Take advantage of the time we have left.
What do you want to do? Get drunk and fall downstairs?
Oh, no, nothing like that.
Carl picked up his brown package, gripping it tightly.
I've got everything all planned out. I'm going to finish reading my treatise.
By yourself?
No, to Barbara.
He peered at the clock.
At 8 we're going to start. Maybe I can get all the rest of it finished.
Vern turned his head toward the window. The sun had set. The sky was dark violet. A few stars had already begun to come out.
Isn't it a little too dark to go up in the hills? Of course, it depends on what you're going to do.
We're just going to read.
For that, it's too dark.
But we're not going up in the hills.
Carl beamed happily.
We're going to read in her room.
Oh?
She has her room all fixed up with prints and flowers. It looks wonderful. You should take a look at it. It's quite attractive.
I've seen it.
Don't you think it looks fine?
Yes, it looks fine.
What's the matter? You look strange.
I told you, I'm tired.
Sorry.
Carl laid down his package. He began to unbutton his shirt, humming under his breath. He put his shirt over the doorknob and took a clean blue sports shirt from a hanger. Vern watched him getting into the new shirt. He raised his eyebrows.
What the hell's that for?
This? I'm just changing my shirt.
Carl finished buttoning it and went over to look in the mirror.
Maybe I should put on a tie. What do you think?
You don't need a tie to read.
I want to look nice.
Why?
I just want to. After all, a person should try to look his best.
He sat down on a chair and rubbed at his shoes with the edge of his handkerchief. Vern stirred, sitting up a little on the bed. He studied Carl for a time, his face expressionless. At last he got to his feet.
You look fine, especially for reading a treatise.
You have my blessings. Your blessings?
Vern made his way over to the dresser. He pulled the bottom drawer open.
My blessings. I don't think I'll need them anymore. I've been saving them, but what the hell? It isn't worth it.
He held up a bottle of John Jameson. Carl stared at it.
My blessings.
No thanks, Carl said.
What?
No thanks. Thanks anyway. I appreciate the gift, and I understand the spirit in which it's given, but you know I never drink.
Vern set the bottle down on the dresser, his face twisted.
You don't? No.
You belong to the Prohibition Party.
I'm just not interested.
Don't you know anyone you might pour a little glassful for?
Carl reddened slightly. Vern put his hand on Carl's shoulder.
Your reaction comes as somewhat of a surprise. Is there some doubt in your mind as to just what's in this bottle? I'm trying to do you a favor, you know. If I had a box of candy, I'd give you that. But I don't have a box of candy. Anyhow, I don't think much of candy. There's a poem to that effect. Liquor saves you a lot of intermediate steps. Candy is a waste of time.
I'm not going over for that.
For what?
For whatever you're talking about. To drink.
That's not what I'm talking about.
All right.
Carl pulled away.
Maybe I like the intermediate steps. Did you think of that?
Vern scowled.
Have it your way. Thought you might want some of the obstacles removed.
I appreciate your help, but I don't want anything like that.
You should appreciate it in the same sense as pouring antifreeze into a motor. It does the same thing, only quicker. It's a lot easier to pour the antifreeze in than to have to push the car 20 blocks to a garage.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Carl grabbed up his manuscript.
It's getting late. I think I'll go.
Wait a minute.
What for?
I want to talk to you. Carl halted by the door.
I don't want to be late.
You don't want to talk, do you? Why not? Are you afraid of what I'm going to say?
No.
Then stick around and listen. Vern sat down on the bed again, leaning back against the wall.
Christ, I'm tired. This thing today almost finished me off. What thing?
The little yuck, Harry Lou. It's a hard thing to have to face. It's a blow. Carl waited silently. I wish you'd been there. You would have learned something. It would have shocked you. It gave me a lot to think about. I wish I could sleep. Maybe I'll feel better tomorrow.
I'll go and you can go to bed.
No, I want to talk to you. Before you leave, I think it might be a good idea.
I'm waiting.
Vern nodded. Fine. He lapsed into silence, plucking aimlessly at his collar.
Go on.
Carl was impatient. He could not see the clock where he was standing. Not being able to see the clock made him uneasy.
What do you want to say?
I don't know. I wish I had more time to work it out. You're going over there? To her?
To her room.
Same thing. The trouble is, I've already made my big offer, the John Jameson. If you don't want that, I don't know what to give you.
Don't give me anything.
I have to give you something, even if it's just advice.
Why?
Because you need something. You've got to be careful. Don't walk over there right away. Walk around outside for a while. Get things clear in your mind.
My mind is clear.
Do you know what you're getting into?
We're going to read.
You don't believe that any more than I do. I can tell when the time has come. It's come for you. You know it too. That's why you changed your goddamn shirt.
I want to look nice.
For what? I'm trying to talk to you, but it's hard. Maybe there's nothing I can say. I keep searching back in my mind for something. You know, women are very strange. It's difficult to tell about them. You have to proceed cautiously. But your problem is different from mine. Maybe it's not the same.
My problem?
You're too young, and I'm too small. It's a funny thing. Seen through the bottom of a glass, all people are the same height.
So?
And the same age. It'll make it a lot easier for you. It's good whiskey, the best there is. Take it along. Ask her if she wants some. She'll tell you.
No, thanks.
You'll be going uphill all the way. It's a long climb, especially the first time. You have to push over too many roadblocks. They set them up. Vern's voice trailed off, sinking into a vague mumble. He sank down on the bed. They set them up as you go along. As fast as you knock them down, they set up another. It gets tiring when you get near the top. Too damn tiring. You want to have a little energy left, otherwise, what the hell's it all for? He was silent, staring blankly ahead. But that's not all. Carl waited, his hand on the door, gripping his manuscript. Vern was silent a long time, deep in his thoughts. At last he roused himself. That's not all. There's more to it.
Women are complex. You never really understand them.
Be careful when you're around them. I wish you had more time. I could tell you a few stories. You know, when I was your age, an interesting thing happened to me. Sometime I'll have to tell you about it. I was 19.
I'm older than that.
I was working for Weinberg's department store, in the bookkeeping department. I met a little girl, tall and blonde, blue eyes, soft hair. God, what a lovely little bitch she was. Ellen something. I don't even remember. It was a long time ago. She was my first. Up in my room, I was shaking like a leaf. I could hardly move. It was raining. I remember that. The rain was coming down outside. Pouring rain. Cold, gray. And us in the bed. Warm, like toast. It went on and on, us and the rain outside, forever. Vern closed his eyes.
Well?
Carl said. Vern stirred. He raised his head, blinking.
Go on.
Vern pulled himself up. You sure you don't want the John Jameson? It's good stuff. It'll keep you warm.
No.
You're making a mistake. It casts a glow over things, a lovely glow. Things get soft, plastic, not rigid. You can bend them. Vern slipped back down again. I'm tired. You go on. Have a good time. I wish you luck. Who knows? You might make out all right. After some groundwork. She might be a good place for you to start. Vern yawned, sagging. As I recall, She wasn't too much trouble. Some are. It varies. His voice died away.
Goodbye,
Garl said. He went out into the hall. The door closed behind him. Vern lay on the bed. Outside, Carl's footsteps died away. There was silence. At last, Vern struggled up, pulling himself awake. He yawned again.
Christ!
He got to his feet and walked over to the dresser. He stood, swaying back and forth, scratching his groin. Finally, he belched.
Christ! Well, my intentions were good.
He took the John Jameson down from the dresser. Presently, he went down the hall to the bathroom to get a glass. Carl walked very slowly along, his manuscript under his arm, feeling his way through the darkness. For a little while, he thought about the things Vern had said, but after a bit, all thoughts seemed to leave his mind. He gazed up at the sky. Ahead of him, the dim outline of a building moved, swinging to one side as he walked toward it. His mind was empty. He clutched his manuscript tightly. How strange. He tried to think of what Vern had been saying, but nothing came. He was relaxed. His mind lay in sleep. The violet sky, the ground under him, the vast, dim outlines, all were exciting and full of mystery. They made it hard to concentrate. He halted, catching his breath. Then he went on, increasing his pace more and more. His shoe touched something. He was there, at the foot of the steps. Above him, the great wood building cut off the sky, blotting out a section of the violet dusk. Carl stood for a time. The air was thin and cool. It blew around him, stirring some trees along the side of the dormitory. He could hear the branches of the trees rubbing together in the darkness. There was no other sound, only the wind and the trees. Carl started up the steps. He climbed one at a time, holding on to the railing, going very slowly and quietly, almost solemnly, as if he were part of some procession. The first person in a religious line, slow-moving, solemn and serious, with his manuscript gripped tightly under his arm like an offering. On the porch he stopped. He rested. Why should it all seem so solemn to him? Why was he making such an important thing of it? He was only doing what he had done before, carrying his manuscript over to read to Barbara. But the feeling remained. Perhaps it was what Vern had said. He had made everything seem so important and grim. But this was not grimness that he felt, not now. Not hardness, not that at all. It was awe, the hushed awe of the church, as if he were entering the temple. The temple. Carl gazed up at the building, and he, carrying his offering, a procession winding its way slowly to the temple with solemn steps, the offering held tightly, a sacred thing. But that made him smile. His brown paper and string bundle a sacred thing? There was nothing holy about his treatise. It was much too calm, too intellectual to be a religious object. It was not enough alive. But there was life, somewhere around him, in the night. The stars coming out above him, they were alive. The wind in the trees. And dimly, halfway up the steep side of the building, a thin line of yellow light, the outline of Barbara's window. And, of course, he too was alive, at least in some sense or other. Carl entered the building. He made his way up the stairs to the second floor. Yes, he was alive, especially of late, since he had stood that moment in the hot sun, gazing across the water at the girl. Since then, especially, he had been alive. But why that had mattered, he did not know. It was a mystery, in part. He came to Barbara's door and rapped. The door opened. Come in, Barbara said. Carl hesitated. All right. Come on. He went inside slowly. Barbara closed the door after him. Carl stood shyly in the center of the room, looking around him.
Your room looks wonderful. Thanks.
Barbara rustled past him. Her face and hair shone, reflecting the light from the lamp in the corner, as if she had been carefully brushed. She had on a flower print blouse and dark slacks and sandals. Carl glanced at her again and again as she moved about the room, fixing things here and there.
Yes, it looks wonderful. Put your book down. All right.
He set his manuscript down on the table by the bed. Barbara had fixed the room up with many colors and fabrics. The room was rich and warm. Carl sat down gingerly on the edge of the bed.
I can't get over how it looks. The drapes, the prints, all the flowers.
Barbara was at the window. She ran her finger over the glass.
It's cold outside, isn't it?
The glass was wet with collected moisture. She pulled the shades down.
Yes, it's cold.
Carl unwrapped his manuscript. He laid the brown paper and string on the floor. Barbara seemed very quiet and withdrawn. She was not saying much.
I won't leave these wrappings around. I'll take them with me when I leave. I don't want to spoil your room.
It's not so wonderful. Barbara sat down across from him in a chair.
I think it looks fine.
Thank you. She nodded curtly. Carl leaned back on the bed, arranging his papers. The bedspring squeaked under him. He made a face.
Don't mind that. They always do that.
All right. He made himself comfortable.
Shall I begin?
Already. He blinked.
Well, I...
Suddenly Barbara leaped up. She swept two small glasses from the dresser and set them on the table by the bed. From the corner of the room she brought out a bottle of wine and uncorked it.
What's that?
Carl asked.
Burgundy?
Oh.
Don't you like burgundy?
I... Carl hesitated. Barbara lowered the bottle.
What's wrong?
Carl did not know. He searched his mind, but he found everything confused, unclear.
I'm sorry. I guess I would like a little. Thank you very much.
Barbara poured the two glasses full and recorked the bottle. She gave Carl his glass. Carl sipped.
It's good.
Yes, it's good wine. Barbara sat down again. The two of them sat silently, sipping from their glasses, neither of them speaking. At last, Carl stirred.
Well, I guess I'll go ahead.
Fine.
You don't mind listening, do you? I don't want to impose. There isn't very much left.
Of course I want you to read. I asked you to bring it.
You're funny, Carl.
Carl picked up his papers. The room was partly in shadow. Only the small lamp was on. It made the colors and textures of the drapes and prints seem deep and full. The room was lovely, but it was hard for him to see his pages. Barbara was sitting almost in darkness. Her eyes were large and dark. She was lovely, too. Carl smiled at her.
Here goes.
Barbara leaned back in her chair, crossing her legs. She rested her hands in her lap. Carl felt his heart begin to beat a little faster, and to his surprise, he found his voice low and husky as he began to read the first page of the remaining sections of the treatise. After he had read a while, he noticed that Barbara seemed restless. He lowered the pages.
What is it?
Barbara stood up.
I can hardly hear you. Wait.
She crossed the room and sat down beside him on the bed. The bed springs creaked. Carl felt the bed sag.
Not very strong, is it?
He muttered in confusion. He edged away from her.
I'm sorry. My voice is so dry.
It's all right. Go on. Barbara stretched out on the bed, resting her shoulders against the wall. Carl glanced at her. Then he went on with the treatise. Barbara, listening to the sound of Carl's voice, felt herself slowly passing into sleep. She rested her body against the wall, hearing the low, intense murmur coming out of him as he sat bent over his manuscript, the pages on his lap. His words were losing their meaning, blending and fading together. But it did not matter. She watched him sleepily as he read. Carl's face was serious, absorbed, his lips moving. His pages meant so much to him. He had worked on them so hard. His hands were clasped tightly around the page he was reading, as if he were afraid something would happen to it, as if it might blow away and become lost any moment.
Does it mean so much to you?
She said suddenly. Carl started.
What?
He lowered the page.
Does your paper mean so much to you? You're holding it so tightly.
Carl noticed his hands.
I am, aren't I? I didn't mean for you to stop. Go on. No, I'll rest my voice for a moment.
He laid the paper with the others on his lap. She saw how careful he was to handle them loosely now, carelessly.
I didn't mean to criticize you. I only wondered why. I wondered what was going on in your mind.
Carl tried to think what was going on in his mind, but he did not seem to know.
Why?
He asked.
I like you, I suppose.
Do you?
Yes, which is strange. I don't usually like people. I've always been remote from people, off to myself, as long as I can remember.
Carl nodded.
Carl, what was your mother like? My mother? Oh, I don't know how to answer that. She was very businesslike. I didn't like her. She had some sort of job in personnel work, job interview work. I always think of her looking up over her desk with her glasses on, business forms in her hands, and a sharp new pencil and eraser. She's not alive? She was killed in an accident when I was quite young. I think you told me. I'm sorry. I never missed her. I lived with my grandparents until I was old enough to work. It was my father that I loved. He played golf and wore an old cap. He had an old Model T Ford. We used to go out into the woods and have picnics. Maybe that's why I like the woods so much. He died when I was only 6. It's funny, I haven't thought of him in years. I remember his voice. He had a big, booming voice. He was huge. He towered over me. Did you have many girlfriends in high school?
Carl's answer came slowly.
Not exactly. I went out a few times, but I was wrapped up in my books and that sort of thing. Did you have a crush on a certain girl?
Carl flushed.
No.
Don't you want to talk about it? He did not answer. His face was red.
I'm sorry.
Barbara touched his arm.
I didn't mean to pry. I want to know about you. I want to know the things that have happened to you. You don't mind, do you? Would you rather not talk to me? Sometimes it's hard for me to talk to a woman.
Barbara smiled.
I won't make you talk. Do you want to go on? Go on? Reading your treatise.
Carl snatched it up.
Yes, I'll read some more.
He found his place quickly.
I'll go on.
Barbara lay back again, against the wall. The room was warm and quiet. She closed her eyes.
It is comfortable. It's nice to lie here and listen to you read. You have a nice reading voice. It's pleasant to listen to. It makes me feel relaxed. I've been very taut the last few days. Thank you.
Carl cleared his throat. He went on, reading slowly and carefully, not looking at the girl beside him, but keeping his eyes on the page he held. Again, she was becoming sleepy. She tried to concentrate, but she could not make head nor tail of what he was reading. What did it all mean? Ideas, words, carefully prepared sentences. She was going faster and faster to sleep. Her eyelids were like stones. She was slipping down farther each moment, her body lifeless, unresponding. She was powerless to help herself. Carl glanced out of the corner of his eye at the girl. The sight of her, lying so close to him, gave him a sense of importance. He was glad to read to her. She was the first person who had heard his treatise. He was happy. Barbara liked him. She had said so. It was a long time since a girl had told him that. Had any girl ever told him that? He tried to think, but he could not remember. Perhaps this was the first time. Carl read on and on, happily, contented to sit with the pages in his hands, aware of the room, the textures and colors in the half-darkness, the unmoving girl on the bed so near to him. It was very pleasant. Barbara was right. He felt relaxed, too. It was a good feeling. Warmth and the soft colors in the room. After a while, he set the manuscript down and took a deep breath. He was finished. He had read all the good parts to her. The reading was over. He turned toward her. Barbara was asleep. She lay partly against the wall, her hands limp in her lap, her body sagging, her head to one side. Her mouth was open slightly. Her chest rose and fell under her flowered blouse. Carl was astonished. Dismay flooded over him. He stared at her. She did not stir.
My gosh!
Carl exclaimed.
My good gosh!